Some of you may know the great Franciscan Father Raniero Cantalamessa. He is the distinguished papal preacher. He has the honor of preaching for the Holy Father. I somehow have the honor of being Father Brian's preacher. I don't know that that's quite as distinguished, but you have to start somewhere. So it is a great blessing for us to be able to celebrate Mass here. We are right near, in the crypt church, the bones of St. Francis. He is buried right here, what in his day would be outside the city, but today is very much inside and the heart of what is here at Assisi. I find it interesting that we go from yesterday at the home of St. Pio, another great Franciscan, and we come here to St. Francis, who, on the surface, the two men seem very different. Padre Pio, of course, went and then he stayed in San Giovanni Rotondo for most of his entire priesthood. For 50 years, he was in that monastery. Whereas the story of Francis, the spiritual father of St. Pio, is one of leaving and going. In fact, our readings today very nicely continue kind of our pilgrimage theme, because we have Abraham in the first reading getting the call to pick up and go, to leave. Now, he was 75, and God told him, you need to go on a pilgrimage. In fact, one that will last the rest of your life. And so Abraham goes, and he leaves. I think it's very important to understand Francis's life in his going and leaving, rather than staying, as it were, we saw with Padre Pio. We'll get a lot of time to talk about the life of St. Francis, but just tonight, a little bit about him that might be important as we begin our stay in Assisi, here inside the walls. St. Francis, people were asking, gosh, was the church in trouble at his time? What was going on? I said, no, the church was actually not bad at the time of St. Francis. In fact, if you had to describe Assisi, which at that time looked much as it did today back in the 12th century, it was comfortable. In fact, St. Francis himself was from a family that was very well off. They had money. And it described most of the families here in Assisi. It was a comfortable place. It was a comfortable time for the church. People were happy with the way things were, so to speak. Francis was very much a part of that normal to-do of society. He fit in. He was a normal kind of person. He was from a nice family. But then Francis has an experience of wanting more. He begins to feel inside of himself that staying here, as nice as this city is, may not be what he's called to do. Maybe he's called, like Abraham, to pack up and go someplace. As we learn more about St. Francis, we'll come to the event that ultimately is one that is his ultimate act of saying, I need to leave things behind and go. It might well be described what we see in the gospel today, where we are warned that we are not to look at our brothers and see the splinter in their eye, all the while having a log in our eye. You might say that St. Francis came to the realization that in fact he had a beam, a log in his eye, as he would have seen it. He has the great discovery that as nice as Assisi is, he worries that it's blocking his vision of God. It's getting in the way. And it's interesting because no one necessarily told Francis this. He has a great gift that he discerns something within himself. He's paying attention to the workings of the Spirit, and he decides, I've got to make a change. Things have got to be different. He decides he doesn't like the comfortable town of Assisi. In fact, he believes that, in fact, Assisi and its complacency and just its comfortableness is, in fact, getting in the way of him seeing God. So I love St. Francis because when he gets this intuition, he doesn't just go at it half-heartedly. As we'll see, Francis was very much a radical. We look at him today and we think, well, he loves animals and he loves the birds and he would go and talk to the fish and he frolicked in the fields and dance in the forest, play in the fields. And we kind of make Francis into this almost like little wimpy guy that just lives off and frolics in the forest. Hardly the real St. Francis. When he decided that he had a beam in his eye, which he saw as material wealth and the comfortable life of Assisi, he did the most radical thing you could possibly imagine. He gave away all of his inheritance even to the extent of most famously taking off all his clothes and saying, I don't want these, it's too luxurious, and he gives them to the head of the town and walks right out of Assisi. I'm not even sure if he knew what his plan was going to be at that time, but he knew, this is getting in my way. This is blocking my spiritual view of God. I've got to take this from my eye right now, and I've got to get out of here. And so he does. Now, interestingly, Abraham was called to go far, far away. When Francis leaves Assisi, he does something very interesting, but one that will become, I think, very important as a model of evangelization. He leaves this, as you can see, the town is kind of on the hill. We came up. He leaves, and he goes down there in the valley. And we'll see the Church of St. Mary of the Angels and the little Portiuncula church that he was given. This is very important for Francis's role in the church, because while he leaves Assisi, everyone could still see him. And like, people would look out and say, there's Francis down in the valley. You know, like, all the people in the town would probably look out from their nice little homes up here at Assisi and look at Francis, and there he is. It was literally a swamp down there. Nobody wanted this church. This church was falling apart. It was given to him because nobody else wanted it, basically. And as would be so characteristic of Francis in the future, he is just overjoyed and delighted to have his own swamp that he can live in. It says because you see the radicalness of Francis. He didn't even know what it was about exactly in the beginning, but he knew he had to go. God called him to go, to leave things behind so he would see more clearly. Notice in the beginning, it's about Francis. He's like, what do I need to do? I think that's a good first step for all of us. Like Abraham, like Francis, we all need to be open enough to the will of God to discern what is he asking of us. Our lives too, I think, and in a lot of ways from where we come from, are probably pretty comfortable. We're probably not displeased with our situation in life. All of us obviously had enough financial means to be able to make a great pilgrimage like this. In a lot of ways, our lives are probably good. But can we, in the midst of that, hear the call of God that perhaps he's asking more of us, asking us to go beyond our comfort zone? Maybe not something quite as radical as St. Francis, but how often the spreading of the gospel in our day is hindered precisely because we're comfortable. In our country, it used to be, when we first got here as immigrants, as Catholics, we had to fight for our identity. We were literally persecuted. We had to stick together because we weren't accepted. Now, it seems like we're pretty comfortable as Catholics in our country. If we look at the polls over and over, well, we all seem to vote like everybody else, and there's really no distinguishable characteristic maybe of Catholics anymore, even amongst those who go to Mass. When you poll people, some of them don't even believe what our Catholic Church teaches. We're kind of comfortable. We can do that now, and to some extent, I think we like fitting in. It's easier to fit in. We're like Francis in medieval Assisi. We just kind of go with the flow. And it's nice to do that. Except that that's not really our role as Christians in this world. We're not to behave as if we have a nice walled-in little city up here on the hill where we can safely see all the enemies coming. Maybe God is calling some of us, surely, if not most of us, to at least spiritually leave the comfort of what our society is giving us. To go out, as it were, from the comfort and go to the swamp. Now, amazingly, what happened when Francis went to the swamp, I said he did that for him. And that's the first step. We have to do what God asks us to do for us, for our own salvation. But an amazing thing starts to happen when Francis goes down to the swamp. Other people see him down there. And while most of the town, yes, laughs at St. Francis, look at Francis in the swamp, little by little, other young men look at Francis and say, there's Francis in the swamp. Why is he so happy? We hear him singing down there. We hear Francis, there he is. He's down in his little church in the swamp. He's singing, he's happy. What does he have that I don't have up here in the city? I'm going to go out of the city too. I'm going to go down and I'm going to see Francis. I'm going to see what this is about. And people do that. And little by little, other brothers start to join him. Famously, St. Clair, of a similar bent, says, why is Francis so happy down there with his brothers and I'm up here? I'll go down too. I'll see what this is about. Pretty soon, lots of people from the town start to see what this is about. To the extent that now, to this day, it's said that only God is able to know how many different Franciscan orders there really are. I live with one of them in Washington, D.C. There are at least three of them probably within, you know, each side of this wall. The Franciscans literally now have inspired an entire religious community, a movement really, in the world of people who follow Francis now. Imagine if we were to be faithful just to the call that God gives to us, to maybe say, you know what, it is comfortable just to kind of remain quiet about my faith. You know, I go to Mass on Sunday, I pray before meals, but that's enough. I'm a good Catholic. I'm a comfortable Catholic. What if more of us did what Francis did and said, you know what, I think God is calling me maybe to more than just comfort. Maybe he's calling me to go out and be a witness. Maybe we wouldn't even think of ourselves as a witness. Francis certainly didn't. He just went off and did what he thought he was supposed to do and was actually kind of surprised. People started coming. Well, maybe you don't think people will follow you. Maybe they will, though. Maybe especially if we as Catholics realized our baptismal call to leave the comfort, to admit with St. Paul that here we have no lasting home, and to go out, maybe even to the swamp. The famous story of St. Francis is that he was terrified of the sick and lepers. We just sung in our opening hymn, "Will you kiss the leper clean?" in that rather interesting lyric. Well, St. Francis literally met a leper, and he was repulsed, and he said, you know, I got to get out of my comfort zone. He actually kisses the leper and tries to minister to him. And then he's free to continue God's work. So what is it that is keeping us maybe walled up in our city, not free to go like Francis did? Whatever it is, we're called today to take that beam out of our eye that we might see. And when we see, maybe we shouldn't be so surprised to find that God is leading us away from our comfort zone to, as it were, spiritually with Francis, touch the leper or whatever it is with us that we don't want to touch. Afraid of losing our popularity, afraid of being made fun of, afraid that people are going to look down from us from their comfort and, oh, there you are down in the swamp. You know, people probably will make fun of us, but in the end, people might follow us too. And that might be just the thing we need to bring about a new evangelization, an evangelization beautifully begun by the friars of St. Francis. We pray that we would continue their good work by going wherever God calls us, that in the midst of people making fun of us, some people might just follow us. And that might make all the difference for the next millennium.